because today I want to finish up last day of discussing in Yanim relating to weddings. This week is Parashas Chayisara. Chayisara is the Shabbos of Shiduchim. Okay, we learn out all of the halachas of Shiduchim from Yitzchak and Rivka. So it's very common, all of the Svarim, when they discuss halacha relating to Chayisara, discuss matters relating to marriage. So we discussed about Shatchanis, 2 days of Shatchanis. Yesterday we discussed Birchas Nisuin at a wedding. Today we'll touch upon that as well, but I really want to start discussing Birchas Hamazon at a Sheva Baruchas. He has some amazing things here in the Paradise Eliezer about the piyut Divai Hoser. Everyone knows what the Vai Hoser is. You all married. So you all must have had this said at your Sheva Brachas. At the Sheva Brachas, there was a custom to recite Zimun. So the one that says Zimun, he says, Rabasai Nevarech, everyone answers, He Shem Hashem, Mevarech Me'atav V'at Olam. And then the one that is honored, leading the bench, and he recites the words, Divai Hoser. Divai means woe. Divai means anguish, pain. It's hard to translate. In the art scroll, it translates the word Divai, Divai means pain. It translates the word Divai to mean pain. Hoser, banish, remove. May you, Hashem, eliminate, remove, obliterate, sar, pain. Vigam, also, eliminate. In addition, you should also eliminate choroin, anger, wrath. Anger in this world. And when you do that, Hashem, you eliminate Divai, pain, and choroin, v'oz, then elaim, the deaf mute, the individual who cannot speak, not deaf, the person who's a mute, the one who has no ability to speak, then elaim, b'shir, with song, yaron, he will, 2 words which mean the same thing, he will give forth. He will be joyous. Over here he translates it to mean the mute will exult in song. Okay, will give forth beautiful melody and song. Then it says, Nichenu, we ask Hashem guide us, Bimaglei Tzedek, in steps of righteousness. Here it translates, guide us, with permission, let me find it over here. Guide us in paths of righteousness. Nechenu, guide us, bimagli, paths. Okay, means steps, footsteps of righteousness. She'ei means to heed, which means direct your attention. V'el hevel, v'el minchosoy lo sho'o. Hashem did not pay attention. Please pay attention to the birchas, the blessing, b'nei Aharon, the children of Aharon. And then we just continue where we left off. But we say new words. Shasimcha b'ma'oinoi, joy is in Hashem's abode. V'shachalnu mishalo. Now here's what's very important to know, that the tzibur, the people at the zimun, do not repeat these words. Everything that was said was only said by the leader. The people in the audience who are participating in the zimun, they just respond. Baruch Elokeinu, or Baruch, he have a minion, Baruch Elokeinu, Shasimcha b'ma'ayna, v'shachalnu mishaloi, u'b'tuvo chayinu. And then the leader repeats, Baruch Elokeinu, Shasimcha b'ma'ayna, v'shachalnu mishaloi, u'b'tuvo chayinu, Baruch Baruch Shemo. And then everyone continues to recite Birchas Hamazon. What is this all about? Where did this come from? Who composed this? What do these words really mean? The deep meaning of these words. What's going on over here? So this is something which appears, this nusach appears to be go back at least 700, 800, maybe even more, 900 years. Can you imagine? Everyone says this. This goes back, this is something which is accepted universally. It's ancient. It's ancient. It goes way, way, way back. Who wrote it? What is it all about? So the assumption is it was written by Dunash. Dunash Livrati. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Who is Dunash Livrati? No. Rashi quotes him about 60 times in Chumash. In Chumash, Rashi often quotes Menachem, the Kiyam in grammar, in Mesoira, and Dunash. Rashi's two friends are Menachem and Dunash. And they preceded Rashi, obviously. If Rashi is quoting Rashi, they came before Rashi. So Rashi lived in the year Rashi died in the year, what year did Rashi die?
1105.
11, like that, 1105. So these people came before Rashi. They lived in the 11th century. Tradition has it that this person, Dunash, was the grandson of Rav Sadia Gaon. Because in one of his writings he refers to Zakeni Rabbi Sadia. As some say, it's not so simple. Just because he said Zakeni, which we in our language translate as my grandfather,
right.
So some say that in ancient times it did not mean my grandfather. It was used in the context
ancestor.
An act of covet, of honor. He was referring to Rav Sadia Gaon, an act of honor, so it does not mean he was a biological grandson of Rav Sadia Gaon. But some say no, it means that Rav Sadia Gaon was his grandfather, which puts him back in from the very early Rishonim, at the tail end of the Gaonim, and that really dates him back way back. Who was he married to? So the legate tradition is he was married to the daughter of Rabbeinu Nissim. Is that the Ran? That's Rabbeinu Nissim, that's the Ran?
Yeah.
So that means a Rishon. He was married. Ran was from the very first Rishonim, Rabbeinu Nissim, and he was his son-in-law. And this is the tradition is that Rabbeinu Nissim had a son and a daughter. Rabbeinu Nissim's son died very young, before Dunash married his daughter, and Rabbeinu Nissim was devastated. And it appears from what it says over here that the word devastated is not
understatement.
Clinical depression, if you could say such a thing. It was really, really hurt, very, very affected by the loss of his son. And he himself composed the Sefer, Rabbeinu Nissim, in honor of his son. The name of the Sefer, probably it's a Kabbalistic Sefer, let me tell you what it says, so let me just turn to the page. He composed a Sefer called Chibar Yefei Mehayeshua. I'm not sure pronouncing it correctly. Okay, so Chibar Yefei Mehayeshua. Asher Chibar Rabbi Nissim, he composed it, I guess, in honor of his son that was Nifter, whatever it is. And that same Tkufa, his daughter got engaged to Dunash. And Dunash, obviously, he knew this person who died, and he knew his father-in-law, so he composed this little piyot to give nechama to his father-in-law. And that's why it's called, and when they got, his bakash was, and now when I'm marrying your daughter, so we can put aside, you're making a simcha, divai hoser, the pain of the tzar that you lost your daughter, hoser, let's put aside. Vigam Choroin, the anger of Hashem that Hashem took from you, your son. Let's now put this aside. V'oz Elaim Bashir Yaron, the Elaim, meaning my father-in-law, who is an Elaim. When this happened to his father-in-law, Rabbeinu Nissim, he became an Elaim. He went into depression. He went into seclusion. He could not even come out and say anything. He couldn't even talk. Let's put this all aside. The fact that your daughter is getting married should lift you out of your depression. And we can now say, Nachenu Mispalta Hashem, Nachenu Garnas B'Maglei Tzedek, She'ei, and then we'll discuss the next part in one moment. So this was composed by Dunash. Now, Dunash's name is in the acronym. Devai is Dalit. The first line is Devai Hoser V'Gam Haroin. The next line is V'Oz Ilei Mishir Yaron. That's the second line. It's a Vav. Nachenu B'Maglei Tzedek, that's the Nun. She'ei birchas bnei Aaron is the shin. That's the whole song. That's the whole thing. That's the only four line piyot, which is Rashi Tevilos. The four lines of Dalit Vav Nun Shin Dunash. Dunash is the acronym, and he's the one who composed the shira in order to give nechama to his father-in-law. Let's put aside the pain of what has happened to your daughter. Let's put aside the anger that Hashem has brought upon us, the chara and af of Hashem, that he took a young person from this world, and let's get on with our lives, and let my father-in-law, let him come out of his state of elaim, and we should sing, and Hashem should turn to the Birchas B'nei Aaron. Now let's discuss it. Who is the Birchas B'nei Aaron? What is going on over here? What is going on? Who is the Birchas B'nei Aaron? So someone said that Dunash was a Levi. Dunash was known to be a Levi, and therefore, like we learned today, HaKohanim HaLevim. So anyone who is a Levi is really a descendant. He is from the Shevet of the Kohanim. So he's saying that Hashem, may the Ribbono Shel Olam accept my request. She'ei, the birchas, my blessing to my father-in-law, then you should put aside what has happened to you from me, who is the B'nei Aharon. I am a Levi, and a Levi is also called from Kohen, HaKohanim, HaLevim, and therefore may Hashem listen to my request and bring my father-in-law Nechama for what he has suffered. Now it's very interesting is why you would say this in Birchas Mazon, and the answer is very simple, because if you know, because there's a halacha, it's not practiced today. Very, very rarely is a practice, but it's Mamas and Shachmas Apella. It's really a wonder why it's not practiced, and why at least it doesn't appear in the Sony. Once was very upset, why at least he can't find it in the art scroll Siddur. And that is, Rachman Tzan and Ovel has a special nusach of Rachim. There's a special nusach in benching for an Ovel to recite. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in the Rambam, and for some reason this Nusach is not recited. There is a Nache, we don't, Tisha B'Av we fast, right? So you're not benching on Tisha B'Av, but there's a Nache in the Shemona Esrei. There's a special Nusach of Birchas HaMazon for an Ovel during the Shiva, what he recites. So what do you learn from that Chazal? The Chazal very much incorporated Nechama into Birchas HaMazon. So here, Rabbeinu Nisim was at a tekufa of Avelus over his daughter. So it's not so far-fetched why they should add a piyut of Nechama into the beginning of the benching, just like in the benching itself, we change the nusach. There's a special nusach recorded in Shulchan Aruch, exactly what you say in Rachim, how what you're supposed to say. There's a special nusach, so it makes a lot of sense. If my father-in-law is in the state of Avelus now, at the time when his daughter is getting married, it's appropriate to embellish the Birchas HaMazon also with words of Nechama. Now he was
taking a personal tragedy and making part of for everybody.
Oh, that's the big question. Just because this was a personal tragedy for one person, for Rabbeinu Nisim, how did it become part of our liturgy? How did it become part? So it has to be there. So it's a very big mystery. It's a lot of the things about the Dvar HaSerah are very, very mysterious. It's not really clear why. Obviously, there are a lot deeper things than this. But on a very simple level, is because we're in Golos. Even though we're in America, and we get a little bit carried away, and we think that Mashiach already has come for us in America. But that's only very recently, in the last hundred years. But Klal Yisrael in Golos was in a perpetual state of misery. And it was a Metzias. People in Golos for the last 1,000 years in Klal Yisrael and Golos, they're running from country to country in Tsar, this tragedy, Rachmana Litzlan. It started off as a personal tragedy for one person, but in Golos, there's always tragedy. And when a person makes a simcha, a person has to use a simcha as a way of lifting up himself from the Tsar of Golos. It's hard for us to imagine because we don't feel the Tsar of Golos after such a long period of time, but this was very, very common when it was composed and when it was recited for hundreds of years. Again, it's almost 800 years old, at least, this thing. And people, they built upon this. Rabbeinu Nisim is suffering. We're all suffering. We also have to use a simcha as a way to lift ourselves, to relieve ourselves from our misery. Okay, people. You don't know what people go through, and people are very miserable. They have a lot of pain. You need to seize a simcha to use as a way to lift yourself from your misery. Not for nothing, people today they make very lavish weddings. Don't judge anyone. You don't understand. People make a lavish wedding. You know it really means a lot to them. Some people have a lot of tzaras, a lot of daigas, a lot of problems, and they make a simcha. So if they have the money, good for them. They make a nice wedding, a 13-piece stand, and they serve steak and so on. It's not, don't be so quick to criticize. One thing, you can't judge. Some people keep up with the Joneses, schulu. But for some people, you don't know what's they're going on, and it's a technique, and you see this technique over here, even in the Birchas HaMazon. Now, also what's coming to keep in mind is that being that this Nusach is about 800, 900 years old, maybe even longer, there are many, many Shinuyim. We don't even know for sure that the nusach that we have here is the correct nusach. It's been gone through many revisions. People have tinkered and played and toyed with it, and made many changes to reflect the day, or to make it personal. So every single word in this nusach has been tampered with. So we're not even sure, and there are many, many other versions and many different sources of what the real nusach was. Now, one, I told you what it's one explanation of Shei Birchas and Aaron refers to. Do not she was a Levi, so he's asking personally Hashem, may you go and be makabel my bakasha. Some say no, that when it says the Aaron, it's referring to the one who's leading the Zimun. Because typically, who is honored with leading the benching? A Kohen. So therefore, since 99% of the time it's supposed to be like that, that you mechabed a Kohen with Birchas HaMazon, so therefore it's appropriate for the Kohen to say, She'ei, may you Hashem turn to the Birchas, the blessing of me, the one that is leading the benching, because I am from the Bnei Aaron. The one that's leading the benching is a Kohen, so it's very appropriate. You're now referring to Dunash, who was a Levi, and he's referring to himself, HaKohanim HaLevim, referring to the one who is the leader of the Birchas HaMazon, who is a Kohen, and when he benches, the one who benches is the one who gives bracha to everyone. He's also the Birchas HaRach, the guest. At the end, there are different harachamans. And in fact, it used to be, that by Sheva Brachas, there are special harachamans that are recited in honor of the Chosen Kal, in honor of the people who have come together. So who is going to recite these harachamans? The one that's leading the benching. So the person who's leading the benching from the very outset says that when I bench, Hashem, She'ei, you should pay attention to the birchas, the bracha of Bnei Aaron, referring to myself when I give bracha to the Chosen Kal, and I give bracha to all the people that are assembled over here. Okay, that's one interpretation. Now, there's another mahalich.
It wouldn't have to be the person who leads the benching who says the harachamans. For example, at a bris.
Correct.
But
we understand the way Birchas HaMazon was typically done in ancient times was the people said nothing. Right. The Sfaradim still do Adayom Hazeh. Or the Yemenites. I know a Yemenite family, that's what they do. I go to Yemen family, that's what the leader says, all the Brachas. Everyone just sits silent. They're silent. So the one who recites the benching says, Mila b'mila b'Birchas HaMazon. And everyone around the table sits and listens and is Yotzei Shemeya Ko'ineh. And therefore, may Hashem, may you listen to my bracha. She'ei, I'm now the leader of the benching. I'm going to say the benching from mila b'mila. Everyone's going to answer. Amen. May you, Hashem, she'ei, pay attention to the birchas b'nei Aaron, me the Kohen, who is leading the benching. Okay, so it fits very well according to the way it was done in ancient times. And again, it's a personal tsar of the daughter of Rabbeinu Nisim. So he also, Dunash also composed the mizmar, the piyut of Duror, Yikra, Lebein, Duror Yikra, Lebeinu Labas. What?
In
Bas. Lebein in Bas. Who's Lebein in Bas? It's the daughter and son. There are many interpretations, but it refers. Many say it refers to the son and daughter of Rabbeinu Nisim. And Rabbeinu Nisim's daughter died, and his son, died, and the daughter was the one to whom Dunash married, and that's what he was referring to with that. He also wrote that piyut Duror. Yikra is also the Dalits, so the acronym is also Dunash. He wrote that piyut, and he's also referring to the daughter that was Nifter, and the son that was Nifter, and the daughter who he married to. Okay, so that's just a historical note of who wrote it and what the simple translation of the words referred to. It was a personal pain tragedy, and we pick up upon this. We also, when it comes to a wedding, we use a wedding as a springboard in order to put aside the misery of the galus that we are in. Also, some of the commentators explain that this is also a fulfillment of im eshkecheich tishkach yimini tivak l'shani l'chiki im eshkecheich Yerushalayim. Okay, we say that we sing that today. Many sing by Chasna that we should forget our right hand. Tidbak l'chiki tidbak l'shani l'chiki. My tongue should be cleaved to the power, whatever. I should not be able to speak. In Eshkecheich Yerushalayim, lo yale al roish simchas. If I do not make Yerushalayim al roish simchas, when we begin over here, Birchas HaMazon, we celebrate. This is the climax of the simcha. But here, the chasen kala, we're benching. We're at a very high state of joy. We have to recognize Yerushalayim, and therefore we say divai haser v'gam charon. May you take away pain and grief. What are we referring to? The Chorban Yerushalayim, the Chorban HaMikdash. Then everyone will sing the Klal Yisrael who is in a state The word Elaim is a code for Klal Yisrael, who in Golus is in the state of Elaim, B'shir Yeroin, Nachenu, B'magle Tzedek, guide us in paths of righteousness, and Shei, then we come, Shei, we get back to the program, Shei Birchas B'nei Aras. Okay, that's another Mahalach referring to Golus, a fulfillment of Tidbak L'shoni L'chiki, Imesh Rechech Yerushalayim, Imloy Ale Al Rosh Simchasi. Okay, third mahalach is very interesting. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says that the end of joy, that simcha leads to tuga. I forgot. I don't have the pasuk in front of me. It took a long time to find it. I wrote it down. But there's a pasuk in Mishle that says that simcha, the end of simcha, is pain, is grief. A person is in a very high state of simcha. The end of simcha leads to grief. What does that mean? It means it's very, very common. Depression. You come to a high, come to a very high in your life, and now what? You've achieved great joy and simcha, and now you come back to the world of reality. You escape. You go to a wedding. You have a simcha, even a yantif, a simchas Torah, and then what's the day after simchas Torah? Back to the world of reality. Back to work, and life is not fun. Life is full of problems, parnasa, all the things that come along with life. So the simcha, sometimes you have to talk to a psychologist to finesse how this works. Simcha leads, if it's not properly put in the channel the right way, too much joy can lead to depression, because when you have to come back to the world of reality and you're not equipped to deal with it, you're in a lot of trouble. That's exactly what this is about kasha for. It's a very deep idea. The deep idea, and this is what it says over here, side source for the day is, here we are, Sheva Brachas, we're at the climax, the wedding, Sheva Brachas, we're at a very, very high. And what's going to be tomorrow with the Chasen Kala? Who's going to support them? Who's going to pay the rent? What are they going to do? They have a job. What's going to be tomorrow? You know, it's all very nice, go to a wedding, but with the world, it's something to do, you have a Chasen Kala, the best boy in Lakewood, the best girl, and you never hear about them ever again. Right? This is the cream of the crop, this is the thing, the spitz. And then you think, 5 years later, whatever became of those people? Right? Remember the wedding, they were breaking away, the best, the spitz that exists in this world. They fell off the face of the world. You never hear about them. Where are they? They disappeared. They're somewhere. It's a very big problem. It's a very big problem in order to take the channel, the simcha, and build upon it. That's the bakasha. Divai Hase. We're now at a point, the climax of the simcha. We're planning for the future. And simcha leads to tuga. It says in the pasuk in Mishle, "We mevakeish from you the ribbono shel olam divai hoser, the pain, remove the pain. V'gam charoin v'yos ilayim b'shir yaroin ach nancheni b'magle tzedek, guide us in the path of righteousness, that this should not, the simcha should not be a high that leads to a very steep fall in the world of the psychologist." Okay, another idea. This is a very interesting idea. Is that we're referring to Adam and Chava. What happened when Adam and Chav had their first meal? What happened when they had their first meal? It led to the Chet Eitz Hadas. It was takeout. Very good. It was takeout. Take him out of the Gan Eden. So here we are, Chosan Kala. Every Chosan is real Jewish. Every Chosan is the Me'ain of Adam Rishon. Every Kala is the Me'ain of Chava. And here they are at the Sheva Brachas, the first Sheva Brachas, all seven Sheva Brachas. They're all sitting in Gan Eden here at the wedding hall, and now they're having their very first meal. Every time there's a first meal between a Chasan and Kala, it's a reminder of the Chet Eitz Hadas. And the Chet Eitz Hadas leads to death. It leads to a lot of problems. So here, what we're doing here is being that a marriage is always a reenactment of Adam and Chava, and the first meal is a reminder of what happened in the first meal, we're coming to the mevakesh that it should not happen again. We should remove. Adam and Chava should be, the tikkun should come. Divai haser v'gam choroin. That Hashem should take away the pain of what happened at the Eitz Hadas, the chet of Eitz Hadas. The Oz Elaim Bashir, now this is a very big chiddush what it says over here. Who's the Elaim? I don't know how you can say it's the chiddush, it's the Nochash. The Nochash became an Elaim. part of the sin, part of the sin, we are assumed that the Nachash, the Gemara himself says Sanhedrin, the Nachash is condemned forever in the next world as well. Nachash is finished. There's no hope for the Nachash. This piece seems to say otherwise. It seems to say is that when the Chayt Adam Lechav will be solved, will be fixed, then the Nachash, I don't know what this means, will have some tikkun. And therefore the Oz then Elaim, the Elaim is the Nachash. Okay, part of the curse of the Nachash. Nachash was a very sophisticated creature. It had legs. It spoke. The Nachash of the Koyach had Dibur. It was a shamish. It was the ultimate servant of man. The ultimate servant of man. And what happened? It was cursed. Al gechoincha on its belly teilech. It lost all these things. So now when the tikkun will be rectified, the Elaim, the Nachash, Bashir Yaron will also be able to sing. When we make this tikkun in the future. Now, by the way, now this also touches upon a very interesting idea that Adam and Chava, why in general do we have Sheva Brachas? So, one of the reasons why we have Sheva Brachas is because Adam and Chava, before I continue, that's another idea. We'll make sure, okay, Dunash. I made a mistake. That's a different topic. Let me just make sure I got everything I wanted to tell you about Dunash. Okay, now there is one other idea, more of a halachic idea. Some want to suggest the Oz, different gears, and it seems to be a very popular gears of the She'ei Birchas Yeshurun. Does that sound familiar to anyone here?
Yes.
Birchas, not Birchas B'nei Aharon, the Birchas of Yeshurun. Yeshurun is a code word for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Yeshurun. Now what does that mean? So it means something. Not everyone is a Kohen. Who's the B'nei Aharon over here? If the one that's benching is not a Kohen, in Mechavad a guest, so you can't say B'nei Aharon. If it's not a Levi or a Kohen, so who then is B'nei Yeshurun? It refers to the Klal Yisrael. So those who preserve that gears, B'nai Yeshurun, someone wants to suggest that every Chiddush is referring to the Sheva Brachos at the end of Birchas HaMazon. No, it's Soif Dovar B'machshava Techila. Devai Hoser is a very big Chiddush. Devai Hoser is not an independent piyut. Devai Hoser is a Hakdama to the Sheva Brachos. And it makes a lot of sense, because what do you say in the Sheva Brachos? We make mention of a lot of different ideas. A lot of the ideas, and also we make mention of Sois Tosis Visogel Hoakara, Bikibots Bonehol Lissoicha Bissimcha. Major theme of the Sheva Brachos is a reference to the Chorban, is a reference to the Tsar. Right? Who's the Akara? Klal Yisrael. And okay, without going into all the details, in the Sheva Brachos, there's many, many references to Bakasha to bring the Geula, to take away the Tsar of Klal Yisrael and Golos. Thus, the Vay Hoser Vegam Charon V'Oz Ilein B'Shir Yaroin is a reference that it's a hakdama to the Sheva Brachos that will be recited at the end of Birchas HaMazon. And then when we say She'ei Birchas Yeshurun, may you Hashem pay attention to the blessing of Yeshurun, your upright people, it's referring to the Brachos that will be recited at the end of the Birchas HaMazon by the people that are honored to recite the various blessings. So it's not a reference, may you listen to the bracha of Bnei Aaron who are going to recite Birchas HaMazon. It's not a reference to the people, to the Dunash himself, of his bracha to his father-in-law, or bracha to the one who recites Birchas HaMazon. It's a reference to the people who are going to be honored with reciting the Sheva brachas when we conclude Birchas HaMazon. We ask now, Soif Maisa V'machshav Atchila, may you Hashem pay close attention, and may you fulfill their ratzon and to the brachas, and bring to the Chosan Kala bracha, and the Klal Yisrael bracha as well. Now, l'may nafkamina, if this indeed idea is that the correct idea, it's a very big halach nafkamina. We all know that by our custom, it's not so simple, is we have two separate cups of wine for Sheva Brachas. One for Birchas HaMazon and one for the Sheva Brachas. That is the common meaning among us. If you look in Shulchan, it's not so simple. The Mechaber quotes two Minhagim. The Mechaber says that some have only one kois. You combine it on one kois, and some have it on two koisos. And the Ramah says, Minig Ashkenaz is to have two kois. We actually discussed this yesterday. Why that's so? Because the truth is, the Sheva Brachas really have nothing to do with Birchas HaMazon. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. You mentioned this story yesterday of Ein Oisem Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. Okay, this is a very, very big sugi. We don't have time. We're not going to have the Zahoya's a lot on this. But the point I want to make over here is, okay, fine. Our custom is to have two cups of wine. Which cup of wine do you recite Birchas when you hold up the cup? And you say, Devai Haser, Vegam, Vegam Charon, V'Ozlim, Shir Yoroim, Birchus, Miranon, Rabban, Rasai, Birchas, Simcha, B'Moina. Which of the two cups are you holding up? The cup of the Sheva Brachos, right, or the cup of Birchas HaMazon. So what is our minhag? We'll talk about Shabbos. We'll talk about that in one moment. So which cup do you hold up? So we hold up the cup of Birchas HaMazon. Okay, so we take Birchas HaMazon, and then we go finish the entire Birchas HaMazon, and then we first pick up the other kais. And by the way, there's another very big dilemma. When do you fill up the second kais? Do you fill the second kais before you start, or do you fill the second kais? You fill the second kais after you finish. When you take out Sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh, when do you take out the second Sefer Torah? After you finish the first laning, or you take it right away?
Right away.
Right away. That's a ride there. You fill both cups right away by a bris milah. When do you bring in the second baby when they are twins? When do you bring in the second baby? Right away, or after you finish the first?
After you finish the first.
So you see in halacha, sometimes the second first begins when you finish the second, and sometimes the second already starts the very like a Sefer Torah. Right, it's very complicated. It's not so clear halacha l'maaseh what you should do. People don't even realize what they're doing. But some hold this hakpada, you should fill up both cups right away, and some say, no, you first fill the second cup after you finish Birchas HaMazon. But some go so far to say that when you say Devai HaSer, you should fill up, you should make the Devai HaSer on the bracha, on the cup, that you're going to use for Sheva Brachas. Regular benching, you have regular... what about... there's another cup. There's a cup of Birchas HaMazon. That cup of Birchas HaMazon is nice. It's just on the side. That's on the side. Or some say you pick them both up together, and then you put down the Birchas HaMazon, and you only hold up the cup of the Sheva Brachas, and you bench on the Sheva Brachas. Why? Because Devai HaSer V'Gam Choroin is Shayich, it's connected to the Sheva Brachas. It's a Hakdama to the Sheva Brachas. So if you're picking up the Kais, you pick up the Kais of the Sheva Brachas. You bench, and then you pass it around, and you make the Sheva Brachas, and then when you make the Borei Priya Gofen, you take back the cup of the Birchas HaMazon to recite the Borei Priya Gofen on the cup that was Birchas HaMazon. But it's not the cup that's meant to be held. So you see, that's not the common minhag. The common minhag is we don't do that. We hold up the cup of Birchas HaMazon. But you have to understand, what exactly are you saying when you're saying She'ei Birchas Yeshurun or She'ei Birchas B'nei Aaron? If it refers to the Sheva Brachas, then you should be holding in your hand the kois of Sheva Brachas, not the Koishal Birchas HaMazon. The Koishal Birchas HaMazon can remain on the table. It doesn't have to, you don't have to hold it in your hand. It can be on the table today. So this is another very big dilemma. Goes to show what exactly is the purpose of saying Devai HaSer in regard to the two kaisas. Now you asked a very important question. What about Shabbos? Do you say Devai HaSer on Shabbos? The common meaning is not. Why not? Because you don't want to mention Tsar. Two reasons. Number one, you don't answer personal requests on Shabbos. So you don't go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take away from us pain, take away our charoin. We don't make personal requests, therefore you don't say this on Shabbos. Others say you don't want to be maskir pain on Shabbos. Shabbos is oinig, it's day of joy. There's no avelus on Shabbos. There's no avelus. So therefore it's not the proper time to mention avelus. So you do not say this nusach on Shabbos. Many poskim strongly disagree. They said there's no different Shabbos and Chol. You should say the nusach on Shabbos as well. Yesh v'yesh. I don't know what the minig kam minig is. Some do and some do not.
We say
Mishrach. He says Shabbos im lizoik. Shabbos. But that's for Chole. A Chole could be different. A Chole is a sakana. Sakana in a Chole, the rules are very much relaxed. But if it's not a sakana, it's just a grief. It's not imminent. it's not an imminent need of pain, then we don't say on Shabbat, you don't make a personal request. So you have no choice. You say Tilman Shabbos also. Rahman al Sun is a very, very tzara. It's an emergency. It's very common in shuls. Rahman al Sun is an emergency. Something happens. You say Tilman Shabbos. No, there's no Isser. I've seen this in the biggest places. The Chaim Berlin, they say the Amal is an emergency. Someone take it to surgery right away. They say Tilman Shabbos. On Shabbos. So in emergency, but just I'm talking about grief is not necessarily proper. Okay, this is just mamish a tipa shebiyam. There's a whole book on this, whole sefer on this, on the depth of divai hoser and how it interconnects into shel brachas.